Hey everybody, I'm Chad Eckert, and that's Joe Idoni. This is the Preferred Lines podcast. You can find us on iTunes and YouTube, and follow us on Twitter at Preferred Lines. What up, Joe?
What's up, buddy? How we doing?
Well, kind of thirsty.
Let's crack some beers, huh?
Yeah, cracking some beers. That's what we do. We try to chill each week. This is the Preferred Lines podcast. If you're new here, we typically have an interview guest. We call the front nine, but it's kind of an odd thing that like the season ending PGA Tour climax is like a dud. So yeah. Nobody cares about it.
Totally. Yeah. It's very anticlimactic. I feel like, especially going to be like in the footprints of last week, trying to live up to that is going to be almost impossible. Yeah. I don't know. I've had my take on it. I don't like the format at all.
Don't get into that yet, Joe. Before we get into that, this is some housekeeping stuff. If you're watching me on YouTube, you can see this baller ass polo my boy Joe sent me today. We got to get some of these and sell them because my goodness, this is fresh.
Fresh. Yeah. You think people will buy those?
I mean, I don't know. Looks cool. Yeah, they need awesome. To like listen to us or care about it. It's just got a nice little design, a little green line across.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool way to support the show. We'll come up with some cool opportunities here coming up soon for you guys.
And as always, like and subscribe, do all those things to help the algorithms find us. You are finding us talking this week about the Tour Championship, which we almost started getting into. But it's weird. It's different. The FedEx Cup point leader, DJ Dustin Johnson, has cashed his points in for a minus 10 starting position. John Rahm is right behind him, but he's not 9-under. He's 8-under. Because why not give DJ a 2-stroke lead, even though he probably deserves a 10-stroke lead? He almost has won back-to-back playoff events, quote-unquote. Then JT's right there, Webb as well, and Morikawa in the Rory spot, 5-under, which is 5 shots back of DJ to start. You were alluding to your feelings on the format. Do you care to share?
I don't want to get too much into it, but I don't like it at all. It's just very foreign in terms of golf. Like this, I can't think of any other instances where this has ever been put into play where a guy tees off with a substantial lead. I understand the idea behind it, but I don't think it's worked. I don't think that it's been easier for people to – I guess it has. It has been – it's a little bit easier to understand because whoever wins, wins. But I don't think that this is a good way to solve a season-long lead, particularly if you're going to call it the playoffs. If you're going to call it the playoffs, this is not a playoff at all. It's some sort of handicapped system. I can't think of another example in any other sport where this would occur.
Right. It's like the weird. Lakers get like 10 points per game first round and like they get to start up 10-0. Like what the hell in basketball or football? That'd be right. Just outrageously odd and no one would accept that. But as fans of the PGA Tour, we'd learn to accept.
Yeah.
Weird and odd thing.
Yeah.
This is like how it works. So if you're new to the PGA Tour, just get used to it and just accept it. And like it or not, it's going to happen. So yeah.
Stop. We take what they give us. We always do.
I think it honestly did mess with JT last year. JT was the leader at minus 10, and that was the first year they did it. It was last year. And by about the fourth hole, he had surrendered his lead. And it was on, actually. So it kind of turned out to be all right because you had Rory at minus 5, Barnstorm the whole thing, and actually win the cumulative and the FedEx Cup or the stroke play and the FedEx. So whatever. It's different. It's weird, and especially different because 2020, Joe, it's kind of been a like weird year that there wasn't a lot of tournaments for people to make up points. So you had a lot of the guys that are in the fall swing be the heroes of the playoffs. It's weird.
100%. There's a ton of huge names in golf that are not here this week, which makes it a little awkward when you look at some of the guys a little further down the list. You know, I guess you're right. In a sense, once things get going and, you know, like you said, the lead was evaporated after four holes last year, and it essentially formed and morphed itself into a normal golf tournament. And it was more acceptable at that point. I assume it will get to that. It's just this irks, I think, a lot of people besides me, the whole starting with an advantage and, you know, let's race, but you start 10 steps ahead of me. I don't like that aspect of it. But like you said, JT was very open and alluded to how he did not like starting with that lead. It threw him off. It was an experience he had never had before in his golfing career. So that tells you right there how unique the circumstance is that he's never been through it before. So I think it's weird starting off. But like you said, once guys get settled in on Friday this week, don't forget that Friday start. So you got an extra day to tinker because that always works. Mm-hmm. But once things get going, it's going to turn into a golf tournament.
DJ with the 10 under start is not JT with the 10 under start, because we know DJ doesn't have thoughts. He is void of space between his ears. So it might actually not matter to DJ. And he could just be like, oh, I don't care, I'm just going to make birdies. I don't know. We'll see. You could make changes. We could suggest changes here. And one of the changes, you could do match play, but I'm not totally into that. But I do think you need to start DJ out with more strokes. I mean, 10 isn't enough for how well he's done. You could give 60 guys into the field, and maybe the starting guy has 20 under. I don't know. It's all weird. But if you're going to do that formula, maybe you come up like a math guy with, you know, a formula algorithm, some smart way to determine. And it's not always the same every year. It's not always minus 10 to start. Like, depending on things and it's fluid, then we just accept that. And that might be better, because we just are like, oh, no, the computer says he's minus 12 and then Rahm's minus 9. Or, you know, I don't know how a computer could think of things.
Yeah. I kind of am – I like the idea of sort of a morphing of a match play with this sort of system in a way where, you know, a lot of guys have talked to it. We talked with EPAT about it. You know, you give the top couple guys, reward them with a bye in the first round. And you could even start a match one up or two up. So if DJ is up against, you know, Lonto Griffin this week, they don't have to start all square, because I get that's why they don't want to do match play, is they're worried that the top seeds are going to fall in an 18-hole match with just the random variance of golf can happen. Mm-hmm. But you give them a 1-2-stroke lead in match play format, you know, to start. And then once it gets into the Elite Eight, it's playoffs, man. It's win or go home. That's what they're calling it. That's what kind of I would expect.
I think they should start with 16 guys on a Thursday. They go out, they play. The top 12 go to Friday. The top 8 then after, go to Saturday. And on Saturday, there's like 8 guys left. And guess what, Joe? Get 8 freaking cameras out there, and then we can watch every single shot. And we can follow every single shot of 8 humans. So, like, you're wanting, like, you're worried only 8 humans are out there? Trust me, you can show a hell of a lot of golf shots of just 8 people, and it'll be entertaining. And then you get to the final 4, and maybe the final 4 the next day, and they're a foursome, like a regular foursome, and they play together. Oh, my gosh, on Sunday? And then that's a stroke play thing? That could be something.
There's a lot of ideas we can throw out there, but the reality is we're stuck with this, so let's try.
We're stuck with this. It's not even that big a deal, because people are just – I like my routine change.
Yeah.
It's 1 week we get to do this, or we have to do this. And then we're back to the regular program next week. And then in 2 weeks, we got a major. So whatever.
Yeah.
But there is, Joe, gambling on the Tour Championship. And it's also kind of odd, because you can gamble in 2 different ways. You can gamble on the winner based on FedEx Cup starting score, or you can bet on the winner based on lowest 72 hole, regardless of starting score. So we got 2 different betting boards this week, and I've bet on both of them already. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to degen this crap on DK too, because why not? I don't care. I love it.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, in looking at both odds boards, there are some instances where things don't add up and things make sense and things don't make sense. So it's hard for me, because I always like to approach a week thinking that I know what I'm doing to some degree. I like to try to at least tell myself that. And this week, these odds have really kind of thrown me for a loop on some of these guys where I'm like, I don't understand it. And that gives me a little bit of pause for concern. But I think there's some opportunities. Like you said, small field, you know, like you said with Rory last year, it came from five back. So you can go hunting a little bit.
Let's calm your confusion, Joe, and talk about it. Let's talk it through together.
All right, let's go.
The tippity tip top of the odds board with starting score. So with DJ minus 10 and Rahm minus 8, you got DJ coming in at 2-1.
Rahm at 3-1. Sorry.
Yeah. And JT 6-1. Well, okay. And then Webb at 12. I don't know. Any interest? Those are, you know, truly the favorites.
Right.
I mean, you make it Morikawa at 20, but I don't know. Can anyone win besides those four? DJ, Rahm, JT, Webb?
Yes, I do think that can happen. They're obviously in a have a terrific starting point, but we saw it happen last year, so there's precedent for it. That's a possibility. DJ and Rahm are well too short for me to bet in this instance. I get why the numbers are what they are, given both of their current form. They're unbelievable. They're number one and number two in the world right now for a reason. Epic duel last week, unbelievable. We got to talk about it a little bit, right? I completely whiffed on my betting card, but that was one of the most enjoyable tournaments like I've seen in a long time. Like sitting on my couch and watching that, had zero money to win. If you're ever like got so much on the line where you're gambling so much that you can't enjoy a week like that when you lose, peel it back a little bit, right?
1-800-GAMBLER.
My picks were terrible, but it was unbelievable drama. Both of them sort of matching those putts was crazy. But this week, even though they're coming into the event with the lead and in incredible form, I'm just not going to bet something that short. What about you?
After all of that, I think there's got to be a little letdown from them. So I think they're going to try to have to carry that into this week, whereas JT and Webb, I feel like JT didn't have any pressure, didn't give a shit at all. And then Webb, too, sat out like smartest thing ever. So
savvy.
You know, 3-stroke, 4-stroke lead on those guys, I don't think that's enough for DJ. And especially, like, he has showed us he could shoot a 80-80 after winning a tournament. So, like, 2-1 odds? Give me a break. We saw the lead evaporate from JT after 3-4 holes or whatever it was. If you want DJ, there's going to be an opportunity to live bet DJ or after round one or whatever, he's going to get back down to earth 8-1 or something. I can feel that. So like maybe to not jump on 2-1 out the gate, it seems idiotic. I did bet JT though.
Interesting. What number did you get on in which version and what number did you get?
I am betting on both versions of JT, the one that's going to win the cumulative and win it all FedEx Cup wise with the starting score of minus 7 or whatever he is. I hammered that at 6-1.
Okay.
Because I'm really not flirting with a lot of names, dude, because I know this is just going to be a couple of guys that have a chance and they're either going to come out and do it or they're not. And JT is going to come out and do it or he's not. And he has played all right, not great. But he has been kind of struggling with the putter, so I could see him finding it here. He had that pressure going into it last year that he doesn't have this year, that maybe he can avenge that, whatever they call it. I think he's due to win. And then I also put a bet on 20-1 Morikawa, but we can go to that range because there's a range here that is potentially – there is maybe the money to be made if DJ and Rahm and people hit the fan, and that's possible, totally, 80-80s, but – Morikawa, Rory, 20. Bryson, 22. This is to win with the score they start with. So these guys are like minus 4, whatever, 3. Xander at 25, the East Lake King. And then Berger here and Decky here at 28.
Yeah, going back real quickly, circling back a little bit. Sorry to do this, but I have I am very interested in Webb. I do think it was a very savvy move of him to, I'm not sure the circumstances, but to come here a week early. He lost, 2 strokes, which, you know, you could argue can go away in a hole and not having to get out there and grind and maybe having a week to reset could help him. Interesting that he was kind of the only one that we really saw do that. But I think they could work in his favor. Look, we're back on a Donald Ross design course. We know his love for Sedgefield. We know his love for this sort of region. We know his love and propensity to putt really well and get hot on Bermuda greens. all of those sort of factor in. Good little course history here as well. So I have some interest on Webb. I was looking at the 14-1 just to win it with the, you know, starting positions factored in.
Okay.
So that's one guy was there. And in the next range, you know, I had I wanted to find a reason to sort of bet Bryson, and there are some, but his approach numbers have been just bad. I think he's 29th in the field of 30 in approach numbers when I looked. It's really poor.
You can look at stuff. Joe, I can tell you right now, I can sort on this spreadsheet that I created.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I like that.
It's free right now. You can find it on the Fantasy Golf Pod. I think I should retweet it with the preferred lines. I probably will. Why not?
100%.
Right now, you can sort by all sorts of things on this spreadsheet. It's great. You got tee to green, approach, the last 3 months, just the season in general, and then last week. So you can compare like long term, real good short term, and then really close short term. And then you could, you know, we got all the stuff on here. We got notes, we got DK price, their odds, what they're starting at. So it's just an easy way to check in on what's going on and what you need to know before you make a better click a name on DK. So it's called,
yeah, retweet that so that people can find that. You guys need to check that out. It's very cool.
So my guy at Sweet Spot DFS, his name is Eric Darbo. He is a chill golfer. I play with him every once in a while. We just decided to come together because he's a big stat guy and knows how to do algorithms and find things and peel things from the internet and put them into spreadsheets easily. And I don't really know how to do any of that stuff. I just know how to like look at things and think. I don't know anything really. But regardless, we're coming together. We're going to have some fun making a spreadsheet. So give us some feedback on that guy.
Cool. So anyway. Yeah, Bryson, yeah. I assume, sucks on there.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was doing. I just sorted, but then I forgot to look.
He's almost
dead last. No, he's not totally dead last, but close.
Yeah, he's just not been good. And you can – I didn't even have to look at stats to tell you that. I can look with my eyeballs. His approach numbers have been bad. He's not hitting it close. Putting pretty well, but it seems like it could be a spot for him. It's just I don't – usually with Bryson, you can see the form leading into his big like plunge into victory. We saw that at the Rocket. We've seen that in the past with him where it just doesn't – form just doesn't all of a sudden click for him like it does for some guys, like we saw with Rory last week with Cantlay. It seems to come a little more naturally, and you can kind of catch an eye on it. I just don't see it. I'm looking at Daniel Berger a little further down. He's just been so hot, man. You search by strokes gain total, at least I did. When I looked at Fantasy National, and he's number one, which, you know, when we talk to Mike Miller, it's the simplest thing to look at, right? It's basically how do you finish in the tournament, and he's number one over the last, like, 36, 24 rounds. He's been incredible. Can he get hot and storm this type of event? I think that he has a great attitude for it going into it. He has the right mindset right now. He has the right level of confidence, and on Bermuda greens where we know he can get red hot, I like Berger.
I mean, is -4 starting? Like, that's totally doable. I really, truly think that.
Totally.
Especially if you're going to use DraftKings this week, don't be afraid to click -4 guys. Like, they truly could go -2 and the guy go +2 and isn't they're in it right on top. So
yeah, and props to Berger. I think last year he finished like 140th in the FedEx Cup. Holy and this shit. Year he's starting off like, what is he, sixth? Like, unbelievable resurgence, kind of out of nowhere. I know there was some injury stuff, but he just really, I think, got back to grinding, switched to those old clubs that are like 10 years old, and he's playing unbelievable golf. He's pretty much earned all these points as well since the restart.
Totally.
So, props to him.
Okay, you could go down further, I suppose, maybe the English or Finau or Todd or Reed, but the books know that these guys kind of don't have a chance in the starting spot that they're in.
What do you do, though, Chad? What do you do about Rory McIlroy? How much are you factoring in baby, right? Is that going to make an impact on if you bet on him or if you aren't betting on him, and should it?
It kind of shouldn't. It's kind of baked in to his 20-1 number.
I think it is.
Poor play, his lackadaisical focus. So I think it's an excuse for his play more than it's an actual issue. Like, do you think it really matters? I'm probably pretty sure that everybody that is around him that has kids has told him, like, we could tell him right now, dude, soak it in. Soak this last weekend. Are you kidding me? Play golf as much as possible because you're going to be ruined. You're going to be done soon. You can't even play golf. Like, oh, and then he's – the factor is that he could withdraw. Like, he really said that. He will. He will do it. He'll go peace out. And it'll be like a national news. Ferrari likes his baby more than golf, and he wants that narrative. He, like, is – he's been working on that for years now to be the guy that isn't into golf. And that this isn't my life.
Yeah.
So I think Rory is a very dangerous and risky play, especially for the fact that, first of all, he won the Tour Championship. He's won here a couple years ago. So, like, he doesn't need to prove himself by any means. He's not in good form. Like, really, I saw a couple good rounds. So then how do you explain his good rounds last week if it was baby, if he's worried about baby?
So you don't. But look, him switching to that mallet putter was the best thing he could have possibly done. Like, even the ones that he missed on Saturday and Sunday all looked good until about like a foot from the cup, and they were right next to it. He was lag putting incredibly well. He's Rory, man. He's so good. He's unbelievable. So he is a guy that any one little
minus
thing
three to start. Okay.
Off. I get it, but that the minus three isn't a big deal. But I will say, like, being on call for that first child, I can kind of remember it. You can kind of relate. There's a stress factor there, man. And I remember, like, my wife 39 weeks pregnant, and I was on the golf course, and, like, you see your phone light up, and he's probably got his caddy with, like, the ringer on high with the phone in the pocket. Like, you're ready. Factor in the you know, you got to account for the fact that we're in a pandemic, right? Hospitals are kind of weird. You got to account for the fact that he's not at home. So also, if he gets that call, he has to have a private flight on deck. He's got to pack his bags. He's got to get out of there. That's stressful shit, bro.
Is he going to be able to see this pregnancy happen? Because, like, most of the people that have, my brother just had a baby in April. I couldn't see it. My brother-in-law had a baby June. They couldn't go. He wasn't allowed in for more than like,
so I know I'm almost certain he lives down here in Florida. I know he used to and sold his house.
Okay, so it's like a 6-hour flight or not? Or, I mean, a 4-hour?
My friends just had a baby up there in Palm Beach Gardens. He was allowed in the room, but at the same token, he's got to get here, right? Like, babies, you know, sometimes you don't go into labor for 18, 19 hours. Sometimes it's, I'm on my way to the hospital and the baby's there in an hour, and he's no way going to make that. That is, it's so.
But first of all, when is the due date? Because we don't even know the due date.
Don't know. We don't know.
This is all bullshit that Rory needed to, like, tell people so that he has, like, oh, that's why he's played so shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
But he does have the incentive of this. He can become the first ever 3-time FedEx Cup champion.
And the first back-to-back guy.
So that's some added incentive there, plus the huge payday. We know Rory loves his cash, right?
This is
– got it there, man.
There's – more of my gut is leaning towards him being, like, excited for this baby to ruin his weekend and let him quit. Like, that's what I feel like is more likely that's going to happen than him win it all and then his baby comes and he's the man again. Like,
yeah,
the way that right. he's played, I don't feel it. So I can.
I'm
pass
not
on
in
the
yet, but I'm going to be paying close attention to that number this week, 100%.
Well, you can get it at 20-1 with his minus three, or you can get it at 10-1. Just to start out from scratch. So that's the other option this week. You can have the lowest 72-hole score, regardless of starting spot, at the tippity-tip top of that board without starting score. It's John Rahm. So they're giving the little nod to John Rahm. He's, what, 5.5-1 versus 6-1. So, I mean, I guess it's a little bit better than DJ. But if you're going to do that, if you're going to bet this week, why would you bet the other board? Why wouldn't you just go here?
You mean if you're going to bet John Rahm?
I mean, anywhere. Or you just going to bet anything. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
There's so many different – there's, like, a lot of different scenarios at play. I think for each golfer, it's a little bit different. That's where, you know, I'm feeling like I don't have a full grasp on it. So I'm being tepid this week.
I'm not treating the scores as valuable as Vegas is treating the scores.
Yeah, Rory is a guy. First of all, Rory is a guy. I don't care if he's minus three. If Rory is hot and on his game, I think he relishes that sort of comeback aspect to it. And if he starts charging, he can erase that immediately. So it all depends, I think, on the player. Totally. But yeah,
it's but a, DJ it's totally starting a player
with the lead
mentality.
Is different than JT starting with the lead. JT is very, he's a thinking man's golfer, like you talked about. I think it was Phil and like the Faraday thing. It was like, in order to be a great golfer, you have to be like extremely smart and think about everything, or extremely dumb and think about nothing.
Correct. Oh my God.
DJ is just like, does not think, see ball, hit ball, shoot at pin. Like JT is.
Did you see him go? He went off of 17, DJ. I want to tell you, DJ going off 17, he like immediately put his ball down, grabbed his club, whacked it, like didn't wait at all. Like it was like
play so fast out of the fairways.
Chill out. You need to like get a birdie here. Like
I love it, man.
It was amazing. And he ended up getting the birdie, but in a dramatic fashion. So DJ 6-1, and then you got JT 9-1, even clean slate versus what was the other one? 6-1?
So yeah, he's 6-1.
So you can get 9-1 clean slate or 6-1 minus down 3. So I mean,
I'm off.
I get that. Yeah, I would rather have, I don't know. It's such a small little margin that I'd rather have the score maybe on the 6-1 than the 9-1 with clean slate. It's hard to say. It's a toss-up. But then Webb's also here at clean slate at 12-1. Mm-hmm. That seems like the best bet, actually.
Yeah, I'm looking at one with Webb at 12-1 and then 14-1 to win without strokes. So that's it's hard for me to really figure out what's the best move. I think he can erase that lead as well, though. He's playing good. And he is still up on 26 of the 30 guys to start.
Now, I do feel like there's a part of me that he would be in contention with Rahm or DJ and be one back of them, and they could edge him by one. And then I would rather have the 12 than the 14 at that point. So that's what I did. So I went with 12-1 Webb. With scratch starting from nothing.
I'm interested in Webb as well. He's probably going to lead my top of the board pick, but I haven't. He's the only one I've got so far inside of 30-1.
Do you like Xander from scratch at East Lake? I mean,
Xander has great course history here. We've seen him win it. He finished second last year, and I think he was started at -4 last year versus -3 this year. So only one stroke better, which is really nothing.
And Rory barnstorms without Rory going all rounds and under par and like being the best player of all time. Xander might have won the whole FedEx Cup last year.
His approaches have been off.
True. Proximity. Not every part of his game. It's really like bad. He gets something lucky here, and then his game goes bad here, and like, and he's such a good golfer that he's been able to maintain it. But there's nothing.
You hear him normally when you see Xander, he swings and is he's not a very talkative guy, right? If you watch him this last couple of weeks, he's expressing himself almost immediately after he makes contact with the ball, usually in a negative way.
That's not good.
Like last week I hear him like he swings immediately. He's like, I chunked that. That's way over. That's way right. What are you doing? Like talking to himself and you can audibly hear that. So something is in his head a little bit. That said, I know he was very popular last week. He has been for a couple weeks and has disappointed a lot of people. So wouldn't be surprised if everyone jumps off Xander Island this week and it's just Nagels left to clean up the winnings.
Well, or you could go to Bryson, 14, or you go to Kawa, 16, with Berger and Finau, also at 16. Well, I guess, what did I get? I got a I got a Morikawa for starting from scratch, because I said that. I got the 20-1 to win it from -5, Rory. And then I also have Morikawa at 16-1 from even. And then I'm doing Tony, 20. I did a Tony from scratch. Because it'll be the most Tony thing to do to win this tournament, but not win it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it would be.
Any interest in anybody else? Because, I mean, I did Horschel also. Because, like, 33. I mean, like I got 33. You can get them at 40 maybe places.
None of those guys really. You know, I have some interest in these guys in the without starting strokes odds board. So, without the starting position. In this 30 range, really interests me. There's a collection of guys at 33-1. You have Harris English, who's been in great form, who played great at Sedgefield, who plays good on Donald Ross courses. You have Kevin Kisner, who I bet at 33-1. Five straight top 25s for Kis. Two of those were top five finishes. He also plays great on Donald Ross courses. He's a member at a Donald Ross course in South Carolina, so he's familiar with the territory sort of back home. He's played well here. This really sort of fits the mold of a course that I look for Kisner at. So I could see him going really low and not feeling the pressure coming down on Sunday to win it, because he may still be 5-6 back of Dustin Johnson, but could win this total strokes thing.
Dude loves birdies.
And you know, there's Tyrrell Hatton there, who I really like in this spot as well to go low. And you have Victor Hovland. So all four of those guys, I think I'm looking to all of them to win without the starting strokes.
Because you get some value. I mean, it's just 30-man field, and you're getting 33-1 on a golfer. Yeah.
Right.
Anything can happen to any of these guys. They could go out and get 16 under, and they could still lose by six. But that's what they're doing. They're just going for birdies because they literally don't care.
Yeah. And those four guys have played, had some great Sundays recently. So they have really sort of charged up leaderboards. I like
have that feeling of being in contention and having that adrenaline. Yes. So you need to do that a couple times to get that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Tony.
And then right below those guys too, at 40-1, this number kind of shocked me, was Horschel.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who's won the FedEx Cup. Here's the guy who should have won at Sedgefield a couple weeks ago. He can definitely shoot some low rounds. He's a great Bermuda putter. To win without strokes, that is a surprising number for me.
Do you know what I call it?
There's less pressure on these guys that are starting out at -2, -3. They can just go out there and try to birdie everything. These guys,
or even, you know, even. Like, it doesn't matter. For house money, Horschel.
Right. Dustin Johnson knows, and this probably isn't a good example because he doesn't think like this, but let's just say the normal starting leader at -10 knows that he can probably go 8-10 under for the week and win the tournament. Mm-hmm. These guys are just going out there going to try to birdie everything, I feel like. So they're going out there to shoot 65s and 64s and see if they can make a run. And if they end up in the top five, that's a huge check for them.
And I believe in my gut, too, that the PGA Tour is going to set them up for birdies. If you get hot, they're going to give you good pin placements. They're going to allow for some scoring. It's not going to be like last week.
Yeah, four par fives. Their scoring's always lower on those type of courses as well.
What do you want to recap your preferred plays? Monday at 8 o'clock. Are we really doing this, or are we going to wait? Because it's Friday that the thing tees off.
We'll obviously continue to develop throughout the week, but so far I've taken all right, so I have a couple plays. That's it. With the strokes, I took Daniel Berger. He's 28-1, and that's basically to come back from the starting positions. Without strokes, I have Berger as well. He's 18 there. I have Kisner at 33. I have Hatton at 33. And another guy we didn't talk about but is 66-1. He's your boy. He's back on Bermuda.
And he had a decent so bad.
He's so shit right now when he's not on Bermuda. But it's Sungjae, dude.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. Strokes game putting on Bermuda, I have second right now in the field behind Webb. Sungjae. Oh, yeah. Second in this field in putting on Bermuda. He played great a couple weeks ago on Bermuda. It's just, I know he doesn't have it all, but he can fire some low rounds. 66-1.
I watched a lot of him. I was very closely following Sungjae Im, but I wasn't very confident. And then all of a sudden, on the round four, I'm texting Martins. I'm like, I'm seeing something in him. I'm excited for next week. I really was. So, maybe that is crazy, but kind of fun. Munoz is like a flyer that, and on Bermuda too. Munoz, and like maybe he's figured out how to birdie. So if you want to go crazy, get a really long shot. But
Mac Hughes is playing incredibly well. Was
with
awesome
the putter.
To see that story was almost like, you know, it was obviously second to the finish in that tournament, but it was really cool to see him sort of gut that out and how much it meant to him to finish in the top 30. Yeah. He's had some great finishes here recently and been playing good. And like you said, he just hoops in 60 footers like they're a three footer. So
I there is something to be said about that, because like, oh my gosh, he's just too good of a putter. He's just putting so well. How could he continue to be putter? that some people are just good at putting. Sorry.
Have you ever putted before? Like, people, when you start rolling in 50 footers, your confidence goes way up. When you start missing 4 footers, you go way down. You can be the same guy, but if I miss a 4 footer on the first hole, I'm a train wreck for the next 17. Right? I know I'm not going to make anything, but you hoop a long one and all of a sudden the hole turns into a freaking volleyball size and you can start making them. Like, that's putting. That's putting.
Ask Jordan Spieth. You can get into the Hall of Fame off just being a good putter.
Shit, man. He's doing other things well too. But he's pretty much free rolling. Like, that was his pressure moment last week. He's coming into this.
On house money. Like, yes.
Let's go try and cash $1 million here. Right?
Yeah, no. These are, if they're offering top five, I'm not even sure if they do for this, but if they do, that's a good play there. Like, house money, Horschel, top five. Like, he could easily mail it in, but at the same time, he's going for it. He's got the chance of 15 million. This is a lotto ticket for these people.
Yeah.
This is what they played their entire lives for.
I like these long shots in the without starting stroke sport. Yeah. I like starting at 30-1 and grabbing 4 or 5 guys.
Well, I didn't do that. You got
too many bets in for Monday night, man. You got to save some money.
I was excited today.
I know.
These aren't stupid because it's JT and it's Morikawa and Webb Simpson. Like, come on. Those aren't terrible bets. And then you got Tony or Horschel. They could come from, well, not, these people just need to start from scratch. So that's JT week. Who are we kidding?
I thought that last week. I was certain of it and he just didn't get it together. His putting has just not been there, and it trickles down into other parts of his games, like a confidence thing as well. But he's so good. Where JT is unbelievable is 77 yards to the hole. Mm-hmm. Like, the best player in the world, maybe one of the best one that I could ever remember, that soft little, like, full swing that he has that goes 81 yards and stops 3 feet from the hole is unbelievable. He's had a good course history here back on Bermuda. I expect his putting can turn around a little bit. He was the number one rated guy on the model that I ran. So there's no reason, if you like JT, to have any pause for concern.
You know why I like JT is because I ran a poll on the Fantasy Golf Pod for the 4 guys, and JT gets 9% of the votes, like less than double digits of the vote for player of the year. Have we forgotten about JT? He's in contention almost every single week. He's won a bunch of times already. I mean,
there's a lot of guys.
Strokes. Dude, come on. He's only 3 strokes back. He's 6-1. I feel it. Let's go.
When do they announce that award?
It's like next week. People think it's okay. After like the majors and stuff. No, unfortunately, it should be, obviously.
So there's a shitload of guys that are in play for that award.
Correct. That's why it's so – I couldn't even figure out – who should I put Webb on there? Should I put Todd on there? Like, I put 4 guys, and I'm like, there's 6 or 7 in play here.
Yeah.
So the people are going to show up to play for this thing. It's going to be great.
6 or 7 in play. You're not, and we didn't even talk about Todd either. Like, unbelievable. He shows up to these hard courses where he has no business even being on the ground, and it's like competing. It's unbelievable.
Because he putts 6 strokes putting.
Oh, this guy's fucking incredible. What a run that he's on right now. And East Lake isn't that long where I think if he gains 6-7 strokes putting on the field, and strikes the ball off the tee in the fairway and has his approach numbers average, he's gonna knock 20 guys out. Then you gotta go beat the other 9.
He doesn't take himself out of anything.
No, he's amazing. Unbelievable.
Congrats. I want his driving abilities.
Yeah, right. I'll take 275 down the middle every time.
Okay, well, we'll also take next week. We're back at it again. It's the Safeway Open. It's just like pedal to the metal.
No rest for the weary, man. We'll be here, just so you guys know, we'll be here with you all swing season until any week they're playing golf on the PGA Tour. We're here. We got you.
We're spending money on that.
Talking and spending money, and we'll be here for you. You can count on us.
All right. Appreciate you all. Like and subscribe, tweet and retweet, and all that jazz.
Yep. Thanks people. Again. We'll talk to you soon.
Peace out.
Peace.